and welcome to Air Magique. I'm your host, Eric, and with me is my amazing co-host, Niels.
Hello, Disney fans. Today we're talking about the secrets of Walt Disney Studios Park, specifically the front lot production courtyard and Toon Studio. Ooh. In previous episodes, we covered the secrets of Avengers Campus and Worlds of Pixar already, so this one concludes our secret series for the studios for now. Yes, there's always more to tell.
Until
Lens.
Arendelle opens up.
Exactly, so I guess we can pick this up at a later moment, but for now, this is the final one. But before we get to all that, some news. So Eric, what has caught your eye at Disneyland Paris over the past month?
Yeah, so why don't we talk about the elephant in the room? Cast members have been striking at Disneyland Paris over the past couple of months. Mm-hmm. Those who make the magic happen are rallying for increased wages and better working conditions. What's different this time is that the strikes are being held inside the park. This is impeding operations and even resulting in the cancellation of Disney Dreams and Disney Delight. Mm-hmm. Well, the cancellation of those nighttime spectaculars has happened once so far, but who knows what the future holds. The demonstrations also took a tense turn when third-party security guards resorted to shoving the protesting cast members when they tried to enter Studio One in Walt Disney Studios Park. The short video depicting the scuffle was widely shared on Twitter.
Yep.
Striking cast members were also handing out flyers, apologizing for the inconvenience and encouraging parkgoers to seek refunds at City Hall, which was even closed on one evening during the strikes, which is super unusual. Disneyland President Natasha Rafalski broke the silence regarding the strikes as shared by cast members, affirming that Disney will not engage in pay negotiations until the agreed-upon review in August. She also emphasized that while the resort has recently achieved profitability, caution must still be exercised by executives. Since Disneyland Paris management is currently unwilling to enter negotiations, strikes are likely to continue for the foreseeable future. Parkgoers should expect entertainment cancellations, demonstrations, and further interruptions to general operations. Cast members were seen holding up both touching and creative signs, most of which show themes of their frustration at being overworked, underpaid, and generally struggling to make ends meet and maintaining a decent quality of life.
Yeah.
My favorite must have been the Phantom Manor stretching portrait themed sign, which is impeccably executed. It really looks like it could be hanging in the stretching room in Phantom Manor. It depicts two shackled manor cast members tied to a safe full of money with Scrooge McDuck etched on top. Disneyland Paris has announced that future park can get in touch to reschedule their visits to a later date, and data tickets may be modified or refunded free of charge until the date of your visit. So yeah, I would recommend if this is your first time going or you want to do a lot of entertainment that you definitely reschedule.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely feel the cast members' frustrations. You know, they really do make the magic happen. It's interesting. So when you analyze how people are reacting to these strikes in the parks, if you look at the forums that are mostly American parkgoers, it's mostly pro-consumer and pro-company. So they're like, oh, well, why are they impeding the magic,
stop
basically? And and if you look at the forums and spaces where more European parkgoers are commenting, they're mostly pro-cast member and commenting, they should get a fair wage.
Yep.
We support them fully during their strikes in the parks. It's very split at the moment. Yeah, I for one definitely support cast members getting a fair wage, and if they need to strike to do it, then that's fine with me. But at the same time, I'm also not visiting the parks for the first and last time in my life, so it just really depends on the circumstances.
Yeah, indeed. And of course, they need to be treated in a fair way and get what they deserve.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I'm also a little bit afraid that this will be paid by us as fans. Higher prices in the future to make it possible to pay cast members a little bit better. Yeah, let's see what the future will bring.
I'm fine. Honestly, if they increase the prices by a little bit, but then make sure to give the cast members a fair wage, that would be fine with me. They've been increasing the prices every year anyway.
Exactly. So if they just increase it like they always do and give a little bit more to the cast members than they usually do, then that would be perfect.
Pay your cast members, y'all. Pay your cast members.
Yeah.
Niels, what's caught your eye at Disneyland Paris?
Well, I would love to highlight something positive, something fun. Our beloved friend Donald Duck turns 89 years old on June the 9th.
Wow.
Yeah, and he still looks good, right?
Oh my gosh, I need the number to his plastic surgeon.
and I was really surprised to see that Disneyland Paris was celebrating this with quite some fun little extras on his actual birthday. So there was an extra magic shot, a special sweet treat for one day in the shape of Donald's butt.
Love that. So cute.
It looked really nice. Face painting locations with Donald Duck theme. There was an add-on to the end of the 30th anniversary show, Dream and Shine Brighter, with a nice birthday cake for Donald.
Nice.
A meet and greet with Donald at the entrance of the Walt Disney Studios Park. So that's a location where he usually isn't available.
Yeah.
And you could learn to draw Donald at the Animation Academy. So yeah, also nice to do that on his birthday. And there was even more. There was a special coloring sheet to celebrate Donald's birthday at the Kids Corner of Newport Bay Club Hotel. There was a Donald Duck collectible card distributed in the parks. And there was a dedicated spotlight page in the Disneyland Paris app. So yeah, really nice. It's not big things, of course, but it's really nice that they at least give it some special attention. And I think these things didn't happen in the past.
The Donald butt cake, I feel like that we could always have that. I wouldn't be mad if we have Donald butt available for purchase all the time. I think it's
I agree.
Oh, did you also see, this wasn't really widely shared, but for charity, they did a little duck race in It's a Small World. Yep. I only saw like a few pictures of it. I didn't see any video at all, but apparently they dumped some ducks in the water there.
Yeah, that was really nice. This was not indeed for the guests, but this was really for cast members as part of their cast life.
Yeah.
Program. So it was indeed a duck race at It's a Small World with the rubber ducks. And they also had a decoration, well, competition. A lot of cast members received a rubber duck and they had to decorate it to make it match with a land or an attraction in the park. And then these ducks were sold for charity. So really nice. Yeah.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
So over in Walt Disney Studios Park, Together, a Pixar Musical Adventure will premiere on July 15th, 2023. The musical production created exclusively for Disneyland Paris celebrates Pixar, featuring various iconic characters. Parkgoers will have the opportunity to experience the show on a daily basis at the Studio Theater, Walt Disney Studios Park, accompanied by 8 musicians, which will be live, as well as an orchestra, which will be pre-recorded. Comprised of 54 musicians, the show will dive into the worlds of Toy Story, Coco, Up, Monsters, Inc., and Finding Nemo 5 times per day. Together, a Pixar Musical Adventure storyline follows Charlie, a child who is passionate about music and dreams of conducting the orchestra for their school's end-of-year gala. But something unexpected happens, and Charlie loses their sheet music on the eve of the concert. As Charlie falls asleep, Woody and their Toy Story friends wake up and join forces to recover the scores scattered throughout the various Pixar stories. Love this premise.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love that the child Charlie has a they, them. Mm-hmm. They could be either non-binary, a boy or a girl.
Yeah,
so
that's
really
smart.
Everybody can identify with them. It's really cool. The behind the scenes photos that we saw of the production look sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't wait to check it out. It feels like it's a Cinemagique style thing, but with more live actors. There's probably going to be some screen based portions where we see Charlie, and then there's going to be a lot of stage production sections as well. Yeah, really excited for this.
Yeah, that Finding Nemo shot that they already shot looked really nice.
Yeah, it looks fabulous.
Yeah, so you really felt the depth with the live actors, the props, and something with the screen in the back.
Yeah.
Really excited to see this new show. It will be something completely different than we had before in the park. So that's a nice addition. But it's just on the wrong side of Studio Run, right? As the whole world of Pixar is on the other side. They basically should switch Mickey and the Magician and this show.
You know, I'm fine with it. It's okay. It's basically the front half of the park. It's not really in Avengers Campus yet or anything. Disney Junior Dream Factory is over there. Stitch Live is over there as well. It's basically a hodgepodge of IP and randomness. But as long as the show is fabulous, which I think it will be,
I'm
happy. Disneyland Paris Entertainment is doing a really good job of implementing LED screens by primarily just using them as a support element. So they're using a lot of physical sets, fabulous costumes, really cool props. And then the LED screen is basically just a supporting backdrop element, not making it the center of the attraction, which is really cool.
Nice.
Now, before we get to the main topic, I wanted to mention that in this month's Patreon exclusive show, we are finishing our Pirates of the Caribbean deep dive series. We'll be exploring the official attraction history as well as adding a bunch of fun facts and neat secrets, and you can get access to that starting at just €2 per month over on patreon.com/airmagique. So you stick around to the end of the show for a sneak peek of that Patreon exclusive episode. Now, y'all, Walt Disney Studios Park is evolving quickly, so we thought we'd talk a little bit about the front lot, production courtyard, and Toon Studio before it goes haywire over the next couple of years. So why don't we dive right in? Niels, would you do us the honor of sharing your first secret?
Yes, I will. Let's talk about the entrance area of Walt Disney Studios Park.
Yeah.
So the entrance is, well, very easy to spot from a distance because of the very large water tower over there. It's not a functional one here, but it's a typical, well, film, movie, studio detail from the golden age of Hollywood. But this cute Mickey-shaped water tower is usually referred to as the Eiffel Tower or the Eiffel Tower. A fun reference to the Eiffel Tower,
yeah,
of course.
That's cute.
So that's really nice.
Our little exclusive tower.
Exactly.
I want to follow up on Niels's Eiffel Tower fact with, why did Hollywood studios often build water towers? So water towers were commonly found on Hollywood studio backlots of the first half of the 1900s. Which were originally a safety measure to douse fires of the highly flammable wooden film sets that were being used at the time. Mm. So that's why these towers even came into existence. The one that first comes to mind is the iconic Warner Brothers Tower.
Oh, yeah.
At least for me, because I've seen it in so many logos.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but the Eiffel Tower has a lot of character. I really like it.
Yeah, I love it. And a lot of people just walk by and, yeah, they see the Mickey ears, but there's a little bit of history behind it because it's really part of this Hollywood filmmaking experience. So that's really nice.
Totally.
Yeah.
I would love for them to light it in a more eye-catching way in the evenings, because that's really subtle right now with the ears just slightly glowing the outline.
I feel
like there's a lot of stuff that you could do. Think about what they've done with an Epcot Center where it's glowing in all these different colors. It looks super cool. Mm-hmm. I feel like that could be done in a tasteful way on the Eiffel Tower, you know, adapting it. Maybe some neat projection mapping, maybe some LED integration here and there. There's a lot of potential there. And it's such a cool icon of the park. So
true.
It deserves to be truly illuminated at night. Maybe some, you know, sky spots or something shining behind it. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that could be done there.
Yeah, or have a little Christmas hat on one of the ears
during
the festive season. Yeah. So I totally agree with you. They could do more with this.
Yeah.
It's almost like the weenie of the park at this moment, right?
Yeah. Well, the Tower of Terror is...
The Tower, maybe? Yeah. Or Studio One.
Yeah. A lot of folks don't really notice the Eiffel Tower when they first walk into the parks. And then in the evening, they're like, what's that up there glowing a little bit? But the tower really, it pulls focus when you walk out of Studio
that's
One,
true.
That's the first thing you're like, oh my gosh, what's this huge building?
Wondering if the Frozen Castle will take over.
Replace the tower. It's possible. It depends on the sight lines, right? So you exit Studio One and the first thing you see straight ahead is the lake and the castle, then that might be the new icon of the park. It really depends.
Yeah, but then we have two castle parks. It's also difficult to to distinguish in the...
But the Frozen one, I think it won't be to scale, right? Force perspective. That doesn't really count.
Oh,
it's fine.
Okay, this is a fake castle. No, but I'm really looking forward to see this castle, but I'm indeed not sure if it really will take over the weenie of the park.
Yeah, we'll have to see. There's a lot of really cool icons in Walt Disney Studio Park, architecturally speaking.
Yeah, the studio tram, right?
definitely that. Cars, catastrophe cannon.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back after this quick ad break. And we're back. So what's next on your list, Niels?
I take us to the Walt Disney Studios store, which can be found on your left hand when entering the studios. This one is one of the larger stores in Disneyland Paris, and it's not just a store, as this one is an homage to Walt Disney himself.
Oh, yeah.
And you can find multiple pictures of Walt in this store. So there's a huge picture of him in the back of the center area. It's in black and white, and it shows Walt looking through a camera, but usually the really colorful princess dolls underneath get all the attention of guests, but it's a huge picture of him. There are also some smaller ones of Walt behind one of the cashier.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Cashier.
The cashier.
Wow. We pronounce it differently, so I'm always confused.
How do you pronounce it?
Yeah, we say casa, and so I also want to say cashier.
In German, you say Kasse.
Kasse.
With an E at the end. So it's Kasse. Yeah, so it's really similar
to the Dutch,
to the Dutch one.
And this is
cashier.
Cashier. Okay.
Sorry,
where
totally.
Was I? No, it doesn't matter. Behind one of the cashier desks, you also can find a picture of the Hyperion Studio. Look beyond the merchandise in this store, beyond the toys, to discover some Disney history in here.
I think that's a really good point. There's a lot of pretty cool overlooked details in the Walt Disney Studios store. Also, the lighting fixtures that are hanging on the ceiling are a really fun detail. It's a little bit more simple than what you'd see over in Disneyland Park, but I think the large format portraits really carry the theme of the store. And it's so cool to see that photo of Walt behind the camera. The prints are such high quality gallery prints. You can see every detail, every pore, every hair on Walt's head. It's so cool.
Yeah, true. Yeah, they're not really pixelated indeed.
So nice. No.
So what's your next secret, Eric?
So I'll be focusing on the front lot for my next secret. Just like in the neighboring Disneyland park, there's a really fun hidden Mickey in a clock face. So if you look closely at the clock above the entrance to Studio Photo, you'll notice that one hand features a circular shape and the other one rocks two circular elements. When they align properly on the full hour, every hour, but especially at 6 p.m., a hidden Mickey is formed. Yeah, that's a really fun hidden Mickey to look out for, and it's nice that you can see it every single hour. Another really fun thing is if you go into Studio Services, there are large format prints of Walt Disney Studios Park concept art that can be seen on the walls. Sadly, they've become kind of faded over the years, but nevertheless, they're stunning and charming to look at. So if you're ever near guest services and you see there's nothing going on, head in and check out those beautiful pieces of concept art because they're really cool to look at. And I don't think you can see them anywhere else in the resort. So
it's really fun.
I do hope the Disneyland Paris maintenance team can replace those old copies in there. They're so faded, but they're so lovely. So I don't want a different art. I just want the same art, but freshened up.
Yeah, exactly. New versions, please. In my previous secret, I talked about the pictures in the Walt Disney Studios store and about one featuring the Disney Hyperion studio. So
yeah,
let's talk a little bit history here. The Disney brothers moved their studio from the original Kingswell Avenue to 2719 Hyperion in Los Angeles. That was in January 1926 and they named it the Walt Disney Studio. And we now have a park with a similar name here in Paris, our Walt Disney Studios park, of course. And we nowadays refer to the studio as Hyperion Studio, by the way, which was of high importance to the Disney company as it was the place where Mickey Mouse was born and also where Snow White was produced. So this was where the success really started. And the cool thing is that not only our park shares a name with this studio, the Studio One facade also has the shape of the Hyperion Studio. So I really love that.
Nice.
Studio One is also a real sound stage, by the way. So it could function as an actual movie set.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. That's neat.
But of course, it's not in use for that purpose. And it's even one of the bigger sound stages here in Europe. So yeah, it's a pity that it's not in use, but it's built in such a way that it could be.
I still love Studio One. I'm such a sucker for it. I know it gets a lot of hard critiques,
but I'm just
a sucker for that Hollywood glamour, 1920s, golden age of Hollywood, whatever you want to call it. It's so cool. And the permanent twilight. Yeah. Just give me more. I love it.
Yeah.
I would love for them to add a little bit more decorations behind the sets. So like when you enter the tiki themed area and you walk behind the set, you just see the that it's a plywood set, which of course at the time made sense for the theming.
Yeah.
But these days when we're going a little bit more immersive, I would love for them to add some theming to the other side as well. But that's just my personal preference.
Yeah, but that would be nice to touch it up a little bit. But for me, they don't have to change Studio One. I know that there are plans to do something with it, but
I don't need anything major.
Well, if it's just adding a little bit more detail then it's fine.
Some plussing would be great.
They don't need to redo everything as I think it looks really nice and the concept is good and then better invest that money in something else in the park.
Yeah, I also wouldn't be mad if the tiki portion got turned into a Trader Sam's bar.
Ooh,
I feel like we need
really
some
nice
Polynesian cuisine at Disneyland Paris. That would be so
Dole
cool.
Whips. More Dole Whips.
Yeah. Or that.
So what's next, Eric?
So unlike the Sunset Boulevard of Disney Studio One, which showcases various indoor facades spanning 50 years, Hollywood Boulevard boasts intricately designed sets that capture the essence of the 1950s. This particular street set exists within a specific time frame, roughly 11 plus years after the closure of the Hollywood Tower Hotel. You may have noticed a terracotta colored building that features a neon sign that reads, quote unquote, La Terrasse. Named after its real life counterparts, property developer Harry M. Bain, the Bain building pays homage to Colonel Bain, a respected businessman who also served as a Los Angeles County supervisor. Unlike most Disney park buildings, which only serve as a facade, the first and second floors feature real office and storage spaces.
Yep.
You may have also noticed that one of the windows is dedicated to, quote, Laurel Canyon real estate, end quote. And Laurel Canyon is a real-life neighborhood located in a canyon in Los Angeles. It was first developed in the 1910s and became part of the rest of the city in 1923. So there's a lot of references in the Bain building to real places in LA. So
nice.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it is. And this area looks a little bit fake.
Yeah.
It's really a film set. I'm pretty sure that a lot of people miss all these little details. So totally. I'm happy that you read them out so that at least our listeners will have, well, maybe a closer look next time when they visit the studios.
Totally. Walt Disney Studios is already doing a lot with food trucks and things like that, although a lot of times many of them are closed, so it's always kind of tough to know when or what. But I feel like they could do some really cool LA, California-style themed food trucks along that boulevard. That'd be really nice for that space and would breathe some new life into that whole seating area that's hidden inside the Bain building. So yeah, maybe like a taco truck that's shaped like a giant taco or something. You could go crazy. I think it really worked with food trucks.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Yeah. And more diversity in the food offering, please.
Yes. So what's next on your list, Niels?
Next is the animation celebration building in Doon Studio. It looks quite iconic, in my opinion. In the center, we see the representation of Mickey's sorcerer's hat from the classic animated film Fantasia from 1940.
Yeah.
And there are golden sculptures of Tinkerbell, Peter Pan, and Wendy Darling on that hat. And they have a little story, as these little statues have not been created for Disneyland Paris, as they temporarily decorated Cinderella's castle at Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom in 2005 and 2006.
Oh, okay.
The kingdom celebrated 50 years of Disney theme parks at that moment and had that as a little piece of decoration for those festivities. So yeah, so that's another great example of reuse, actually.
Totally. Yeah, it's really smart. Yeah. And the statues are such high quality production. So it really doesn't feel like old discarded decor that, where do we put this? Oh, let's just put it in Paris. It looks like it was purposely made for the structure. That's really nice. Yeah.
And we have a big Mickey and Minnie statue in front of the World of Disney in Disney Village.
Yeah.
And those are also reused, as they used to be, I think, on top of the New York Disney store.
Oh, okay.
Once. I think they closed that Disney store and they brought over those bronze statues to Disneyland Paris.
Wow.
So this is happening
more. Just for clarification, they probably closed one location and reopened another because there is currently one on Times Square.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fascinating.
I think so. Or they just changed the whole theme. That could also be possible. I'm not completely sure. But those statues came from New York. So that's a nice Disney Village secret.
Really cool. So I'm going to stay on Hollywood Boulevard in the production courtyard and talk about the first National Bank building. This is the tall gray building that has been printed onto a large format structure in the studio's park, most likely due to budget constraints.
That's funny. A bank budget. Okay.
The quote-unquote real or original First National Bank building was located on the northeast corner of Hollywood Boulevard and North Highland Avenue. It was home to the Pacific Southwest Trust and Savings Company. The building was the tallest building in Hollywood after its construction in 1927 and held the title until 1932. The building clocked a 56-meter, that's about 183 feet in height, from its base to the roof of its tower. The building was designed by Meyer and Holler, the same firm that built the Chinese Theater, which is, of course, so iconic.
Yeah. And we have a replica in Hollywood Studios, right?
Yes, exactly. We have a beautiful replica in Hollywood Studios. We were supposed to get one in Paris too, but then budget. The 13-story structure was most popularly known as one of the Metropolis backdrops for the Superman TV series.
Oh,
so you
right.
may have seen the real one on television. And
I always recognized it, but
never knew exactly where it's from.
Yeah, exactly. And now I know.
It's pretty iconic.
From Superman. Funny.
I do wish they would have built a real three-dimensional facade. But again, I'm assuming this is a budget thing, which is why it was printed.
And then add Superman. From the competition.
From the competition. Do we own that? Nope. So next, Niels?
Yeah, my last pick already.
Yeah.
And it relates to the Hollywood Tower Hotel, aka the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
One of my favorite attractions. So good.
Well, not mine, but theming-wise, yes. Story-wise, yes. But not for the big drop. The fun fact here is that there are more than 5,000 props inside this iconic structure to make it feel like an upper-class place from the 1930s.
I believe it.
Yeah, you believe it. That's good. They convince you. And also to make some reference to the once very popular Twilight Zone TV series. So Disney Imagineers spent a lot of time to scout these 5,000 objects in both European stores and markets, as well as in Californian ones. So Yeah, a lot of effort went there to buy all these items separately.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, typical Twilight Zone references are the broken glasses and a space miniature among many others. But what I like here is that the props are real things, things with, well, history, not just newly created items without a soul. So, yeah. but real stuff. So that's really nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I always love how they mix real antiques with specially produced set elements. And it works so flawlessly together to tell the story they want to tell. And if they turn the Hollywood Tower Hotel into a real hotel, I would be the first to book a room there. It's so cool. I love the theme of a haunted hotel. There's so many cool things you could do with that.
Yeah, I would love to sleep there as well. And then have that nice view over the park.
Oh, yeah,
that
would be awesome. Yeah.
Okay, one day.
Well, for my last pick, I'm taking it back over to the Earful Tower, whose ears light up suddenly at night. So as Niels previously mentioned, the first one was actually 40 meters tall, so that's 130 feet tower, which was located in the studio backlot tour area of Disney's Hollywood Studios in Orlando, Florida. So at the time, it was known as Disney MGM Studios. When the park opened in 1989. It was the park's original icon with the Great Movie Ride, a life-size replica of, again, what we already talked about, Grauman's Chinese Theater, serving as the visual centerpiece. Both were displaced from the icon status by the Sorcerer's Hat, which stood in the park's central hub from 2001 until its removal in 2015. The Earful Tower was removed itself on April 29th, 2016 to facilitate the construction of Toy Story Land. Since then, the Hollywood Tower Hotel has been the representative icon in the marketing, with the Chinese Theater, which now houses Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, restored as the centerpiece. So ours was the second Earful Tower, clocking in even higher at 50 meters, so that's 163 feet. And it debuted with Walt Disney Studios Park in 2002. And well, it served as the park's icon for a while, but I would argue that the tower, again, is probably more of an icon these days.
Yeah, but I think in communications, in some of the merchandise, they show the Earful Tower as well.
That's true. Yeah, they show both, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So yeah, maybe there are... I'm not completely sure what their icon should be.
Well, the Earful Tower, it's a lot more positive. The Hollywood Tower Hotel always looks very scary.
That's
and
a
tall
ghostly,
and ghostly
thing.
Which, I mean, it's supposed to. It's doing its job, right?
But and with the ears, it's directly recognized as a Disney thing, of
exactly.
course.
Exactly.
So I can imagine why they probably prefer to use that.
Makes sense. Brilliant, Niels. Where can people find you?
Well, people can follow me on Instagram. I'm at Capturing Disney Parks and post daily pictures. For all my other activities, please visit my website, capturingdisneyparks.com.
Brilliant. If you just found us, be sure to subscribe to Air Magique on your favorite podcasting platform to never miss out on a future episode. You can also follow Air Magique on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and check out our website, airmagique.net, for all the latest Disneyland Paris and European theme park news and podcast updates. Please consider supporting the show on patreon.com/airmagique. You get access to a completely new exclusive episode every single month, and it really helps out a lot and keeps the show running.
Yes.
So before we go, we did want to thank some of our patrons, and you can also get in a shout out at the Sequoia tiers. So thank you so much to Simon, Jen, JP, Jerry, Gray, Andy, Jen OB, Jordan, and Tulips. Thank you so much, you guys.
Yes, thanks a lot.
Stay safe and have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you real soon.
Bye-bye.
Although you can't see it in the photo, one of the hidden Mickeys in the attraction, which is the three barrels of rum that are tied to a rope. So depending on which way they swing, this hidden Mickey is more or less visible.
It used to be really visible, but last couple of times that I rode Pirates, they're always hanging in the wrong direction to really spot it.
Oh no.
Yeah. It looks like they did a little maintenance. Or cleaning work.
Right.
And someone just...
accidentally swiffered them the wrong
turned
way.
Turned them in the... something like that. Yeah.
That was just a short preview of the full-length Patreon-exclusive show. You can get instant access to this episode, as well as Disneyland Paris Hacks 2.0, Disneyland Paris on a Budget, and the Discoveryland Deep Dive. along with all of our other fabulous Patreon-exclusive episodes now on patreon.com/airmagique. See you there!